Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show, Mary. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Patrick. I'm so thankful that you're there that I can get an answer as a grandparent. The unborn baby who's been aborted, where does that soul go?
Well, yes. We know this much.
If it's born of a Catholic person, does that make a difference?
No. In the sense of like the eternal destiny of the child, no. Because there are a few issues here. Let's start with this one. We know with certitude, and the church teaches this, that these children will not be punished because they did not do anything wrong. They were conceived, as we all are, in the condition of original sin, which means that they, like we all were before baptism, do not have sanctifying grace in their souls. And sanctifying grace is necessary to see God face to face. If I could suddenly transport you to the surface of the moon, Mary, the very first thing that would happen is you would die because you're not equipped naturally to live in that environment. So baptism and the graces that are given in baptism, it animates the soul, it regenerates the soul, the Bible says. And so the soul now has the ability to live in the presence of God, which it could not do if it did not have sanctifying grace. So because baptism is necessary as the norm, and Jesus commanded and taught that baptism is necessary for salvation, that much we know is true, and that's certainly binding on all of us, but it's not binding on God. And so the church also says that we should, on the one hand, knowing that these children will not experience any kind of punishment because they didn't commit any actual sins, nonetheless, their condition of original sin deprives them of sanctifying grace. So the church says we should hope and trust in God's mercy and love that those children, in a way that's known to God and not to us, that God will grant them, he will bestow on them sanctifying grace so that they can be happy with him and with all the rest of us in heaven. Now, the church doesn't go so far as to say that that's definitely what happens. And I can understand emotionally why a couple would say, you know, we have three babies in heaven. Well, the church cautions us from saying that we can know for sure that they're in heaven because we really can't. But we do know for sure that whatever their eternal destiny is, and we hope and pray that they're in heaven, we'll find out when we get there, but we know for sure that it's going to be blissfully happy, even if it's just at a natural level. And this is where the theory of limbo was often employed as a way to satisfy the truths of God's mercy and his justice, and to say that if in a way that we don't know about, God for some reason doesn't give them sanctifying grace, they're still blissfully, naturally happy, far better than anything they could ever experience in this life, but it's still a natural happiness. It's not a supernatural happiness. So one way or the other, it's win-win, but the win is bigger, obviously, if they receive sanctifying grace. So to summarize, the church encourages us to trust in God's mercy and to hope and expect, really, that God will give them the sanctifying grace so that they'll be with us in heaven. So I don't know. Is that sufficient for you to answer your question?
Yes, for the aborted baby, that mm-hmm. really helps me a lot. Now, a second question is, what about the babies that are born to the Catholic parent who doesn't bother to get them baptized mm-hmm. and they grow into a child and pass away before they ever had a chance to be baptized mm-hmm. and accept the faith?
Well, if they die before the age of reason, then the same explanation I gave for the aborted babies or those who die in miscarriage would apply to these children as well. So below the age of reason, the church reckons that they're incapable of committing a sin. Certainly they can't commit a serious sin, that's for sure. And it's unlikely that they could really commit a sin, even in a venial sense, if they're young enough. So that would be the church's approach to that situation. Now, if due to the negligence of the parents, for whatever reason, they're lazy, you know, whatever, they didn't baptize their child, and then the child grows up to be a teenager, say, dies in a car accident at 15 years of age, well, that, you know, that child now is above the age of reason, and so he or she may or may not have accrued any mortal sins, and that's where we have to pray for God's mercy. But the parents, they're going to have to answer to God for that. What many people don't seem to realize, Mary, is that the church's canon law it in essence, it exhorts even to the point of requiring, or maybe commanding is not quite the right word, but it's a very strong and serious exhortation of parents: get your kids baptized as soon as possible. Don't wait for 6 months for the family to come to have the party. Get them baptized. You can always have a party later and celebrate the baptism again, but get the child baptized. And the rule of thumb is typically within a couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks at the outside. Don't delay, because you don't know what could happen. And many people don't seem to know that. So I'm happy to be able to remind everybody that when you have a baby, for the sake of that baby's immortal soul, and to ensure that you've done the right thing and the child is baptized and has the benefit of those graces, have the baby baptized as soon as you can. And again, 2 weeks, good rule of thumb. 3 weeks, good rule of thumb. 6 months, not a good rule of thumb. Thanks, Mary. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. More of your phone calls right after this.
For more of the Patrick Madrid Show, visit relevantradio.com/Patrick.